T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So yesterday in the French Quarter, there's now 3 Easter parades every Easter Sunday each year. There are now 3 Easter parades in the French Quarter. There's the just regular Easter parade. Hey, let's get dressed up and go to the Easter parade. And then there's the Chris Owens Easter Parade. She's the entertainer who has the Chris Owens Club on Bourbon Street, and it's been there for about 50 years. I think I might be off by a few years there, but she goes in a cart and she goes through the French Quarter. And then there's the Easter Gay Parade. And they have gay people.
What did you wear this year?
I didn't go to any of them. I remember a couple of years ago, because I don't live far from there, and I walked over a couple of years ago to the main Easter parade, and I think I saw Chris Owens. I commented it was amazing seeing her under the sun, in sunlight, because she's usually not seen until the sun goes down. So to see her, under the sun was a sight. But I don't know. I got to be honest with you. By Easter, living in New Orleans for 11 years like I have, by Easter time, I'm done with parades. I mean, we've already had Mardi Gras. We've already had so many parades. I mean, how many more parades are we going to have? So I didn't catch any of them. I watched the local news last night, and I noticed some of the stuff. The one big difference I notice in the 3 Easter parades in the French Quarter are the outfits that the people wear. In the regular Easter French Quarter parade, people are dressed up. They bring their kids. People dress decently for a parade. The gay parade was a little bit different with the outfits that some of the people wore. I've never seen some Easter bunnies so scantily clad. But it looked like everybody had a good time, and that's all parades are about, right? Just making sure everybody have a good time.
Right, but overall, you're done with them.
By Easter time?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've had enough.
I mean, there's already been so many parades this year, you know?
And now, the adventures of Buzz Killjoy.
There he is.
I didn't kill the Buzz. I just said, I was just talking about the parades, and I just said that...
You bring everybody down and make them feel bad about themselves if they paraded over the weekend. What's the matter with you?
No, I didn't say that. If people like going to parades all year long, that's great. I'm just paraded out. That's all. Mm. But it looked like people had a good time, and the weather. The weather absolutely spectacular for Easter.
It was a glorious weather weekend. We were able to get some chores done. We had a nice brunch on yesterday with Mrs. Brewster's mother, and it was a good time.
Well, and plus, another reason why...
I got some new shoes. 2 pairs of new shoes, in fact, but enough about me.
Well, we've got 2 big weekends coming up, and that's another reason why I couldn't be running around like a lunatic on Easter, parading and partying, because this weekend
with Chris Owens.
Well, yeah, this weekend and next weekend it's Jazz Fest, and then this weekend is the Zurich Classic. The PGA Pro Golfers come to town, and I like to partake in both of those, and so
you can't be everywhere. You can't do everything.
It's tough.
That's right.
It's tough in this city. It really is.
So, one day I hope to be omnipresent, but not yet.
Yeah, I hope you had. I hope.
Did you watch any of the that golf yesterday? I wonder who won that yesterday.
The young Asian guy named Pan.
Oh, okay.
It's incredible. Most people like me, I thought Dustin Johnson was going to win. He was right at the top going into yesterday, and he barely broke 80. Dustin Johnson did something very un-Dustin Johnson, like the number two golfer in the world. He barely broke 80 and fell apart and collapsed.
I had that on for a bit, but I wasn't able to watch. Wasn't able to watch the end of it.
A young Asian guy named Pan. Yeah, first time he ever won a PGA tournament, that was in Hilton Head, South Carolina, yes. And now they come here, and it's the only PGA tournament where they play doubles.
Yes,
they're two teammates. They all play together.
Yeah, so. I was ambivalent about that at first. I was skeptical about it, but I like it now. I like the team format at the Zurich Classic.
It makes it unique, mm-hmm. because it's the only one that does that. So, and then over this past weekend, we saw just an absolute horrific terror attack in the name of Islam. We saw it reared its ugly head again in the South Asian country of Sri Lanka. The death toll now is up to 290 people, at least 290 people injured, more than 500, as a few suicide bombers went into some churches on Easter, one of the holiest days of the year, and blew themselves up.
Despite was how many were killed? What's the latest?
Right now, at least 290, and that number has been rising.
Right, you're aware that Donald Trump erroneously tweeted that millions had been killed yesterday in Sri Lanka, and of course, everybody just went nuts and said his brain has turned into a hamburger. And all the usual stuff. Of course, no mention of the 57 states that Barack Hussein Obama had visited that one particular time. But
so, and it's I think right now it's almost Tuesday in Sri Lanka. It's they're ahead of us by several hours. I don't know the exact time over there, but they took drastic steps on Monday to crack down on new potential terror threats by blocking social media. And they arrested more than a dozen people after a series of suicide bombings carried out by a domestic radical Islamic group ripped through the capital city there, Colombo, over in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday. It was awful. The health minister of Sri Lanka said the attacks, which killed, again, at least 290 people. And what were they doing?
They were
just going to church. I mean, going to church. I know we heard a lot about what happened in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago in the mosque. And there were some people killed in a mosque, but it made headlines for a long time. Nowhere near 290 people. Nowhere near 290 people. And I didn't notice this getting as much news coverage over Easter weekend. Yeah, not just going about their business, but they're going to pray. They're going to worship. They're going to a place where they should feel every bit as safe as their own home, if not even more so. But the country's health minister over there in Sri Lanka said that the suicide bombings were carried out by at least seven suicide bombers from a local militants group named National Tawhid Jamaat. That group promotes Islamic terrorist ideology. Police said 13 suspects in connection with those bombings have been arrested. They work pretty fast over there. And experts are saying the attacks look like they came right out of the ISIS playbook, an Al-Qaeda playbook. I mean, how crazed, insane lunatics could strap themselves with bombs, walk into a place, and then blow themselves up. And that's how they were able to identify some of the attackers by their body parts. They said, "Well, this arm over here looks like this could be one of these Islamic terrorists. You know, this finger over here, this," and that's how they were going about that. But Again, six nearly simultaneous blasts took place on Easter morning in Sri Lanka, and churches and hotels in Colombo. Colombo is the capital of that nation, and just an absolutely horrific story as we wake up on the Monday after Easter. So that's the latest there, and they say don't be surprised if numbers, fatalities could go up even more. Not quite to what Donald Trump said.
But. Yeah, I think he, a human mistake, as we all tend to make.
All right, coming up on the show, we will tell you why a billboard that the LSU gymnastics team put up made some headlines over the weekend. Stay tuned for that report on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I'm a big Beastie Boys fan. And, you know, we lost one of the Beastie Boys, Adam Yaut, a few years ago. But the other two, Mike D and Ad Rock, you might have seen them. They've been promoting a very large book. It's a hardcover. It's basically the history of the Beastie Boys. And not only have they been promoting it, I saw them on late night talk shows, but they've gone to different theaters. I know they've done it on the East Coast. They did it in New York. They did it in Philadelphia. They've done it in a few different cities where the two remaining Beastie Boys will go into the theater. And then they talk about the book. They answer questions. They talk about stories that they've never really talked about before. Pretty cool if you're a Beastie Boy fan. I don't know if they're coming around here, but I know many people have different opinions about the Beastie Boys. But they turned out to be one of the, in my opinion, one of the greatest groups of all time. I mean, that first album did really well. I was in college when that came out. They were a bunch of kids having a good time. And then the second album, Paul's Boutique, showed them hardly anybody expected that to come out of from those three guys that gave us that fun stuff from the first album. Nobody expected the really cool sounds that came out of the Beastie Boys on their second album, Paul's Boutique. Just really, really good stuff. I've always said they're one of my, if you held a gun to my head and said five all-time favorites, I would put the Beastie Boys on the list. Really good stuff. All right, coming up on the show, we are going to tell you why a billboard that the LSU gymnastics team put up has made a bunch of news. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So over this weekend, the LSU gymnastics team, they were in the very first ever four on the floor meet. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that is basically the final four of college gymnastics. And the LSU gymnastics team, they came in second. They were runner-up at the first ever four-on-the-floor meet. And after that happened, they put up a billboard in Baton Rouge. And it's got the picture of all the young ladies on the LSU gymnastics team. And it says, 2019 NCAA Gymnastics National Runner-Up, LSU. Pretty cool, right? I mean, it's in the city where the campus is, and there it is. But people driving down the highway will now realize that LSU had the second best gymnastics team in America because of that. Well, one person wasn't too impressed with that billboard. And that one person is a guy named Darren Rovell, who used to work for ESPN for a lot of years. He was basically like their money guy when it comes to money in sports and money with this and money with that. Darren Rovell was their guy. But he was taken away from ESPN, and he was hired by something called the Action Network. And they paid him more money, evidently, than ESPN was paying him, because that's why he works now for the Action Network. I mentioned him before on the show when we were talking about social media. One of the things that got him hired away from ESPN by this Action Network, and one of the reasons why the Action Network paid him more money than ESPN did, is because of his social media following. He's got like a million or 2 million followers on Twitter. I'm guessing his the number there, but it's up
it's
there.
Not bad. He's got just over 2 million followers.
Yeah, and that's one of the main reasons why he was taken away from ESPN, hired away by something called the Action Network, and they were able to pay him more money than ESPN wanted to pay him. Mm-hmm. And he said in interviews, he said, you know, my social media is one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, why I got this job with this big contract. And he's all for Twitter. He's a big pro Twitter guy, and he gets upset on Twitter when colleges tell their athletes, you know, stay off Twitter this week, we have a big game, you know, or stay off Twitter this month or whatever. During, he gets mad because he thinks that the college athletes should all be tweeting, because that's where he is, that's where he's big, and he believes that'll help college athletes, that'll help them down the road. And other people say, well, you're crazy, Darren Rovell, because, you know, they should be focusing on practices and the games, and they right. shouldn't be focusing on Twitter and tweeting things. And so it's an interesting argument.
Right. So the LSU Gymnastics Twitter account posts the billboard you're talking about and says, thank you, Baton Rouge. And then Darren Rovell says, no, you can't put up a billboard for coming in second. And that's it. That's all it was said, at least on Twitter.
Yeah,
He didn't go into ripping them or...
No, he shared what you just mentioned. He shared the LSU gymnastics tweet with the picture of the billboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote, just as you said, no, comma, you can't put up a billboard for coming in second. Well, that just lit up Baton Rouge over the weekend.
Well, guess what? That was mission accomplished on his part, because that's what he's trying to do. He gets his name out there attached to every one of these tweets and retweets, whether it's pro him or against him.
Plenty of users on Twitter came at Darren Rovell, saying that his outrage was misplaced. Would you call that outrage?
No.
Or would you call
no,
that...
That's why I specifically read just what he said on Twitter.
No, comma, you can't put up a billboard for coming in second, period. I mean, there was no exclamation points, no all capital letters.
No, with all the outrage that we see on social media, I don't think that qualifies. Yeah. And again, I don't recall ever having seen the guy, so I don't know. Is he a loud, bombastic guy?
Should we
take outrage tacitly written into that tweet?
I remember when he used to work for ESPN, I would see him once in a while on ESPN, always talking about a financial story, a money story, when it had to do with sports. But plenty of users were not happy about that. And so... And after Darren Rovell found out about that again, because they said that several Twitter users brought up the Final Four banners when it comes to the basketball, NCAA Division I basketball with their Final Four. A lot of Twitter users said, hey, Darren Rovell, you know, we see there's Final Four banners, and they've got all four basketball teams up on these banners and these billboards and all over the place, and there's the four teams, and only one of them wins, so why are those other three teams mentioned? And Darren Rovell said that you shouldn't be comparing those two, the Final Four in basketball to the Final Four in gymnastics.
Well, but that's
apples and oranges, not close.
Well, but that's... you know, for those young ladies and their fans, some are going to follow college basketball and some are not. And I would imagine that the ones that are not are going to put a lot of their fandom into how well these young ladies have done. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well, the reason
you drive through little towns all the time and you'll see, you know, whatever it is, East Undershirt, Indiana, home of the 10th place Little League final, you know, something like that. What's the town in Pennsylvania where they play the
Williamsport?
Williamsport, the Little League World Series.
Yes,
but you'll see things like that.
Well, what Rovell was trying to say when they brought up the when they brought up the NCAA Final Four basketball. And not even close. NCAA basketball makes millions and millions and millions of dollars. You know, when it comes to NCAA sports, only college football makes more money than basketball. NCAA basketball makes millions and millions of dollars. NCAA gymnastics doesn't make money. It doesn't make money like that. So that's why he was saying that. Well, then a couple of seniors from the LSU gymnastics team, seniors McKenna Kelly and Sarah Finnegan, along with junior Ashlyn Kirby and a sophomore, Sammy Durante, they sent out tweets of their own, obviously showing they're not happy with Darren Rovell tweeting about their billboard. Finnegan wrote, quote, "I'm not even going to entertain you, Dan, Derek, David, Dickie, whatever your name is. Queens don't look down." That's what she said about that. And there was another one said, Ashlyn wrote, "Sounds like someone was runner-up in their Easter egg hunt. There's always next year, Dave." So now they're having fun. They're saying right. They don't know who he is, and They're calling him by different names. And then one of them, McKenna, wrote, "Yes, we can. We did." That was her reply to Darren Rovell tweeting, "No, you can't put up a billboard for coming in second."
Right.
And so they made some news over the weekend. I got to be honest with you. I'm a big sports fan. If you listen to the show, you know we talk about sports. And that includes college gymnastics. Although the older I get, the creepier I feel watching college gymnastics. I wouldn't mind going to see an LSU gymnastics match one night, but I would make sure I would have to go with a girlfriend, a female companion, whatever the case may be. I couldn't go as a guy now.
A single guy.
Who's over 50 years old.
Right.
Yeah, I can't go by myself to a college gymnastics event, especially maybe if there's a little chill in the air and I got to wear an overcoat, you know, go by myself. That would kind of look kind of...
Yeah, don't take pictures either, whatever you do. Don't have your camera. Don't take pictures at this event.
That would be kind of creepy. See, I don't have an issue with them putting up a billboard saying they finished second. And look, I'm no fan of participation trophies as children. This is a little bit different. They came in second in all of America in college gymnastics. They put up a billboard in their hometown where their college is to say so.
It's not nearly as egregious as some things you see professional teams do, and I will use the Indianapolis Colts as an example, and they get in the... in the Colts versus Patriots rivalry, they will get hammered for that. The Colts, that is, for putting up things. Excuse me. For example, in Lucas Oil Stadium, they have things like 1999 AFC East champions. Well, they're in the South now, but they were in the East at one time. And 1987 AFC East champions, but squeezed in between things like that, and 2006 world champions, because contrary to what some people here believe, the Colts actually did win one Super Bowl. But hang on, you'll see things like 1995 AFC finalist and 2014 AFC finalist. It's like, hey, we're number two. I think when teams start to do things like that, That's going too far.
Well, you bring up a good question. Let's say the Saints lost 10 years ago in a Super Bowl when they won, the only Super Bowl they were ever in. Let's say they lost. What if they put up a billboard around New Orleans that said, hey, hey, the Saints, you know, we came in second, or
well,
or
no.
What are the, now they had never even been to a Super Bowl before that, and they haven't been to a Super Bowl since.
But that's two different things. We're talking apples and wingnuts, and here's why. A billboard is fleeting. It's going to be seen, and it's going to go away. But a banner hanging in your building, for the Colts to hang a banner at Lucas Oil Stadium that says 2014 AFC finalists.
Well, the Saints have a few. Yes. The Saints have a few banners in there that say.
Are there similar ones
in the dome that say, "Yeah, division champions"? I think they have a couple of division champions.
Well, no, hang on,
banners.
That's different. But I mean, division champion. If you rose to the top of whatever that is, that's fine. But AFC finalists, that's not even. That's
I don't
not even
know what that means.
I
yeah.
know. It's, yeah. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
The way you said that, that almost sounds like they were like one of the last teams to be picked to be in the AFC.
Well, it's it does come across like that. But again, a billboard is something a lot different than, you know, to me, if the Saints were to do something like that, like the scenario you describe, it would be more of a, hey, thanks, fans. You know, here's how far we got, blah, blah, blah. But a banner in the building?
Well, go LSU Gymnastics, and there you go.
You can't go.
Hey, coming up next, would you like to see, because there's a store called the Walmart of Liquor. It's called Total Wine, Spirits, Beer, and More.
Yes,
and
I love it.
They're calling it the Walmart of Liquor, and it's starting to pop up all over the country. There are states and cities, municipalities that are fighting against it. They want to keep it out of their area because the booze is so cheap. We're going to tell you more about that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, last week we put a video up. A new pop group made a music video, and as far as visually looking at the video, they did it step for step exactly the way Journey did their video for that song right there, Separate Ways. It's a different song. It's a pop group. But the way they did the video, and they have the Journey video in the bottom right-hand corner. And it shows you that the band, again, it's a different song.
Right.
But they're for camera shot for camera shot for camera shot for camera shot. The entire video is done exactly the way Journey did the Separate Ways
right.
video. The song isn't as good, and the song I don't think is that great. It's a pop song, but it's hilarious that what they did, and you can see the video at Bayou957.com.
Cool, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
The Journey video, if you remember, I think it's the guys, and they just seem to be like in a parking lot or like a parking lot of a warehouse, and it's a lot of air guitar. And Steve Smith is playing air drums,
yeah.
And there's a lot of fist pumping, wife beater undershirts, and a lot of fake muscles, a lot of that stuff in that video.
I always wondered.
I always thought that was one of the corniest videos ever made in rock and roll.
And I always wondered why so many rock and roll guys would wear tank tops,
right.
When their arms were so skinny. I always wondered that. And I remember when that album came out, there was a video game that was out, and it was in a couple of arcades when I was a kid growing up, and it was a Journey video game, and it was actually an entertaining video game. There was one part of the video game where you were a security guy, and you had to stop the people from rushing the stage, and they would be playing that song and other songs from that album. And I always thought that, I remember that when I was a kid. That Journey video game.
Hmm.
Hey, real quick, I saw this man runs from armed robber inside Bourbon Street bathroom. This happened over the weekend. Now, the story doesn't say which restaurant, which bathroom, but some guy went in there and somebody followed him into the bathroom and showed him a gun, but he got out. So. All right, coming up next, we'll look at today in history. On this radio show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
April 22nd. Today's Earth Day.
Today is Earth Day.
And did you know when Earth Day started?
Yes, I do. In fact, I have audio.
A unique day in American history. A day set aside for a nationwide outpouring of mankind seeking its own survival. Earth Day. A day dedicated to enlisting all the citizens of a bountiful country in the common cause of saving life from the deadly byproducts of that bounty. The fouled skies, the filthy waters, the littered earth. The gravity of the message of Earth Day came through. Act or die.
How is that different than AOC, Alexandria Ocasio? Cortez. How's that different than what she says? We're all going to die in 12 years. Well, that was Walter Cronkite from 1970.
Yeah.
Pretty much saying the same thing. We're all going to die, and that's the way it is.
Well, I don't think he gave an exact date. I think that's why people scratched their head at the freshman congresswoman from New York City.
Well, I have an update on that story. We are all going to die. Just some sooner than later.
Earth Day started today in 1970, as we
why
just mentioned.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
And it was the brainchild of the then governor of Wisconsin, Governor Gaylord Nelson. You know, Gaylord's one of those names that people just aren't naming their kids anymore.
No, you don't see that too much.
But it used to be a popular name.
No, it was never a popular name.
Gaylord was never?
Ask anybody who was named Gaylord, and they will tell you, no, it's never been a popular name. Ever.
I wonder why parents would name their son if they look down, and he looks like a Gaylord. I wonder why they would name him that. Well, anyways.
Why would they name their child Jim Osterlin? Come on.
Well, 1970, today the first Earth Day. And of course, we should take care of the Earth. You know what bothers me when I see people litter? Bothers me. I've seen people, Brewster, at red lights, at stop signs, throw a whole bag of fast food garbage.
I don't see that.
I saw that one day. That made me so mad. Like, you can't just wait till you get to a garbage can.
I don't seem to see that as much as I used to. I remember, boy, as a kid, people just didn't care at all. Everything just came flying out the window like on the interstate, and they would finish, like you mentioned, a bag of food or something, and here it comes.
Oh, that bothers me when people litter. And it reminds me when we were kids of the fake Indian with the tear in his eye when he would see people litter, and come to find out that Indian ended up being some unemployed Italian actor.
Right. Who just could pass for being looking like... Native American.
Well, that's a key in the acting world.
Yes.
You have to be able to adapt to different roles.
That's right.
Here to tell you a little more about that is Jim Osterlin from the Bayou 95.7.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate it. April 22nd. It was today in 1945.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Adolf Hitler admits defeat. Finally. He finally admitted we're going down.
Then why did it take 8 more days for him to grease himself?
Coward that he was, and he killed himself. He couldn't be taken alive. April 22nd. It was today in 2004.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
This guy's an American hero. Former NFL player Pat Tillman was killed by friendly fire in the war in Afghanistan. Pat Tillman was a college football star at Arizona State University. Then he became a professional football player in the NFL with the Arizona Cardinals. And then he was about to sign a big contract, millions of dollars. But he said, you know what, I'm stepping aside for a little while. He saw what was going on in the world, and he said, I have to do something about it. And he became a military man, and he went over there. And he was killed by friendly fire today in 2004.
Didn't he become a Ranger? Did he make
it? He was an Army Ranger, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a real good defensive back, and he was a real good soldier, and it sucked that he got killed, and it really sucked that he got killed by friendly fire. April 22nd, it was today in 1978.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The world saw the Blues Brothers for the very first time. The Blues Brothers make their world premiere on Saturday Night Live.
And I remember that as if it were yesterday, watching it live.
That was the first time we saw Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. It was a great bit, a great skit, and then it went on to become a great movie.
Sure.
I love the Blues Brothers movie.
That's in my, it's got to be in my top 10.
It's
certainly
up there. Yeah. Always entertaining. It's one of those movies, like you like to say, when you're flipping through, if it's on, it doesn't matter where it is, you stay and you watch the next scene or two. It's always so good.
I believe they started that premise on that appearance, which, as you mentioned, happened today in 1978. The whole bit about how Elwood, Dan Aykroyd, has a briefcase handcuffed to his wrist, and then they make the big production number about taking the handcuff off, opening the briefcase, and inside the briefcase is Jake's harmonica. That's just ridiculous, you know.
Well, their last name
great
was
bit.
The last name were their last names were Blues.
Blues, right?
And they were in a blues band.
Right.
So, I mean, the whole thing. But I loved it. I thought it was great. A couple celebrity birthdays for you, Brewster.
Mm-hmm.
Born today, way back in 1937.
Why today doesn't suck.
One of America's most famous actors. Happy birthday, Jack Nicholson. He was born John Joseph Nicholson, and I believe he found out later in life his mother, the woman that raised him, was not his mother.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and I think it was his older sister, and that was back in the day where you were young and you were unmarried and you were pregnant.
Yes, ladies just went away to visit an aunt.
Yeah, you went away for the summer, or
right.
You went away for a few months, and then you came back. So, but boy, he's one of the great actors in American history. You have a favorite Jack Nicholson movie?
I think because he is playing, he's basically Jack playing Jack. But one of my favorites, I don't know if it's the favorite, I'm not a fan of The Shining. I'll tell you that right now. Shining. Not a fan of that movie. Not a fan of those. That's just not me. Stephen King. My favorite Stephen King is Carrie. But I would say this is going to be a curveball. My favorite Jack Nicholson role, I think, is as the former, the alcoholic former astronaut in Terms of Endearment.
Huh.
With Shirley MacLaine and Deborah Winger.
My favorite Jack Nicholson movie, without a doubt, is when he played McMurphy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I to me, that's his defining role.
Hmm.
He was also in Easy Rider. That was one of his first movies. And a lot of that Easy Rider filmed right here in New Orleans during Mardi Gras in the French Quarter, the cemetery.
How about that? You got another birthday there?
Let's see. Do we have any more birthdays? Yes, I do have one more.
All right.
Happy birthday to a very good and, I think, underrated guitar player, a rock star. Happy birthday to Peter Frampton.
Born on this date in 1950.
Why today doesn't suck?
I don't want to say he's getting old, but he's recording a sequel to Frampton Comes Alive. It's called Frampton Still Alive. So,
Peter Frampton's actually out on the road, and he has said that this is his final go-around on the road. He's got a debilitating nerve or muscle situation where he's just not going to be able to play like the Peter Frampton that we're used to.
But as I mentioned, would you agree or disagree with me, Brewster?
He's
very underrated as a guitar player.
Tremendously.
He's an incredible guitar player, but people never talk about him like the way they talk about Eric Clapton or other great guitar players.
Well, speaking of Eric Clapton, who we have heard various reports, you'll hear that he's frail and in a wheelchair and can't play at all. And then we had a performance of him that we played a little snippet of last week doing Layla in the electric version that we all know and love for the first time in many years. Now, it turns out, let's do this first. On this date, April 22nd in 1981.
Why today doesn't suck.
We'll close the circle on all this. Eric Clapton was hospitalized with bruised ribs and a lacerated shin after a car accident in Seattle 2 days after being released from a hospital in St. Paul, Minnesota. Guy can't catch a break on this week. All right, so apparently today, and we mentioned this, or you and I were talking about this off the air, Eric Clapton is going to play the Crossroads Festival later this year. He apparently is going to announce tour dates today, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Well, and maybe to New Orleans.
Maybe around this time tomorrow, we'll have information about that. And on this date, April 22nd in 1969...
Why today doesn't suck?
The Who performs Tommy live in its entirety for the first time at a concert in Dalton, in the UK. And then a number of years later, 1983, on this date,
Why Today Doesn't Suck,
The Who's Tommy premiered on Broadway as a musical at the St. James Theater. It lasted there until June of 1995. One of the great albums of all time. Very influential. It's got to be on just about everybody's list of favorite hard rock albums, released on this date, April 22nd, 1972.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Actually not released, but reached number one on the UK album chart. One of my favorites, that is Deep Purple's Machine Head, with the classic Mach 2 lineup of Ritchie Blackmore, Ian Gillan, Ian Paice, Roger Glover, and John Lord.
Probably the most definitive Deep Purple.
Well, you see things on the internet or on Facebook specifically that say one of these has to go, and it'll be four food items or four fast food items or four things. If you took all of the Deep Purple albums and said you could only keep one, that would be the one to keep. And in addition to being National Earth Day today, April 22nd is actually also National Jelly Bean Day. You got a favorite jelly bean or jelly bean flavor? My favorite would be Jelly Bellies, and I like to mix them together. You can take like a cherry and a chocolate pudding Jelly Belly jelly bean, and boom, you've got a chocolate-covered cherry.
I like most of them. I like most jelly bean flavors. Yes. Jelly beans are awesome.
Exit question, licorice jelly bean or not? Yes or
no?
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
I always hated them when I was a kid, but once in a while, licorice can be refreshing. I don't know.
The one thing that bothers me about jelly beans, I wish that the jelly bean had the same nutritional value as all the other beans out there.
Right.
But they, unfortunately, they don't. And I had one more celebrity birthday, but it was yesterday. And yesterday was Sunday. We had the day off.
Well, I didn't.
Yeah, you worked. Good show yesterday, Sunday afternoon. That was something.
Go ahead and bring us down with your last item. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm not bringing you down.
Oh, okay.
But happy birthday yesterday to Queen Elizabeth II. The Queen of the United Kingdom turned 93 years old yesterday. It's her and Keith Richards, man. I'm telling you, and she looks great for her age.
Are you talking about the Queen or Keith Richards?
Well, both, but Queen Elizabeth doesn't look a day over 90. I mean, she hit 93 yesterday, so happy birthday, Queen.
You got one more?
That's it.
Oh, okay, and it's the segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, we'll tell you about a youngster who was shot in the buttocks over the weekend here in the city of New Orleans on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Even though Easter was yesterday, today is the annual White House Easter Egg Roll. This year's theme, no collusion, no obstruction. And did you know that China is helping finance this year's event, the annual White House Easter Egg Roll? Being partially financed by China. They want to make it a Chinese egg roll. But I don't know if they're going to change their tradition or not. But that's happening today up there in Washington, D.C. All right, coming up on the show, there is now a store being called the Walmart of liquor. And they're popping open all over the place. Yet some municipalities are fighting to keep them out. We'll explain. I would like a Walmart of liquor, where liquor is really, really inexpensive and cheap.
They're popping up, or they're opening, or both. They're popping open.
Both.
Oh, okay.
We'll give you the details coming up. I'm Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So, how would you like it if in Metairie or in Mandeville, a new big alcohol store opened up?
Yes,
and they called it the Walmart of liquor.
Yes.
I'm with you, Bruce.
I'm in.
Well, we don't have any of those around here right now.
Oh.
But the place is called Total Wine. Spirits, beer, and more. They are now in many different states, but they're not here yet. And every time that they pop up or they want to pop up in a new state, local lawmakers many times try to stop them from opening. And I think there's a couple of reasons why. I think, A, some of the people that already sell alcohol in those areas call up their local representatives and they say, hey, can you do me a favor? You know, we don't want the Walmart of alcohol to open up down the street from us, then it'll kill our mom-pa culture of being a small store selling alcohol at a higher price than they would sell it for. And I think that stinks because I believe in capitalism, and I believe what makes capitalism capitalistic and what makes it the best is competition. And this is a very interesting because it's happening again right now, even though it's already in New York, it's in Connecticut, it's in New Jersey. They want to open a couple of more places in New York, but the local municipalities are trying to fend them off. They're trying to say, no, you can't open here. And again, it's for the reasons why I told you. I'm sure there are people that are selling alcohol in those places that call up their local representatives and say, hey, stop this place from opening up. For instance, they sell a big bottle of Maker's Mark, a 750-milliliter bottle of Maker's Mark bourbon. It costs $23.99.
Well, that's not the big bottle. That's the standard.
Well, the standard bottle.
Right.
$23.99.
That's not really a great. Well, for Maker's Mark, yeah, that's not bad.
Well,
because that's what you normally would pay for Beam or, you know, I know what I'm talking about here. We started talking about bourbon, but
yeah, well,
that's not bad.
In New York, the closest price you can get to that. And the closest liquor store where they want to open one of these is selling it for $35.99. So right off the bat, it's $12 cheaper than what their closest competition around them would be selling it for.
Right.
That's why I'm sure the competition around them are on the phones with their local lawmakers saying, keep these people out because they're undercutting us. But for people like you and me, and whether they're selling Maker's Mark or whether they're selling forks or whether they're selling pens,
widgets.
It doesn't matter what they're selling. For you and I, the consumer, we want the best deal we can possibly get, right? And I wonder why this place hasn't opened in Louisiana yet, because they've been open. They're open in not quite half the states. And I had never heard of them until I read this story. But they're called the Walmart of liquor.
Yeah, I'm sure Walmart's thrilled about that.
Well, to get their name out there, this business was founded by the Trone brothers, David and Robert Trone. It was founded, the first one opened as Liquor World in 1991, but they soon changed the name to Total Wine and More. And now they're in almost half the states in America. But I'd like to see that. See that around here, and I just happened to see this story, because anytime a business wants to open, I'm always for that. I mean, if you're a capitalist, you should be for that too. The only reason you wouldn't be for that is if you think that it would hurt your business or hurt other ma and pa businesses in that area. Do you realize when Walmart, before it opened on Chapatula Street here in New Orleans, there were people that fought against that? There were people that said, you're going to kill the ma and pa culture. And I know they were talking about some of the stores a few blocks away on Magazine Street and other places in that area. But do you think that Walmart on Chapatula Street, or do you think that Walmart in Metairie, do you think those Walmarts have hurt or killed ma and pa cultures? Or do you think that they've done a good job to make our lives a hell of a lot easier as consumers, where we get good, better prices on a lot more stuff than we would ever get before? I don't believe that Walmart over on Chapatulas has it might have killed some other things. You know, the way people dress when they go out in stores and things like that. But it didn't kill the ma-and-pa culture. I'll tell you that. And so I saw this, and I learned something new this morning about a place that sells liquor, and it's called the Walmart of Liquor, Total Wine and More. And their headquarters are in Bethesda, Maryland. And here's a place that I would absolutely love to see come to Louisiana, even though I don't drink the way I used to drink. but it's for consumers. Anything that would help the consumer save a few bucks. Again, no matter what they're selling. And I just find it interesting. They're trying to open a store right now in Westchester, New York, and you got people over there that are fighting that.
Right.
So,
excuse me. Costco. I'm sorry. Costco.
Oh, they do. Okay. Well, there you go. Maybe we don't need one right around here then.
I'm sorry. Pass me a tissue.
All right. Coming up. Last week we mentioned this on the show, and we're going to talk more about it coming up. The Kate Smith version of God Bless America, which is the most famous version of God Bless America in our country's history, it's being yanked from sports stadiums all over America because of a song she sang back in the 30s. And I'm going to tell you why they're making the wrong decision coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So there were a few different incidents with guns in the city of New Orleans over this past weekend, Easter weekend. Did you see the 14-year-old boy who got shot in the buttocks in Central City? He was wounded, and it says in a story, in his buttocks. He got shot in his right buttock. So shouldn't it say he was shot in the buttock? It was one shot to the right buttock in Central City. And it happened on Saturday night around 9 p.m. He heard gunshots. He began running and realized that he had been shot in the right. Again, it says buttocks, the right buttocks. But wouldn't that be buttock without the S?
Yes, it actually, a lot of people don't believe that. But the story should properly say he was shot. It's correct that he was shot in the buttocks. He cannot be shot in the right buttocks. He can be shot in the right buttock.
Aha!
See? You know, words mean things. I don't know if you're listening. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you write for, like a newspaper, but or an internet site, but words mean things.
Yeah, like a local New Orleans newspaper. Mm. And I try not to be a stickler, especially when it comes to people getting shot in the city, which happens every day.
Well, but see, that's why I'm here, because I am a stickler. I like stickling.
This 14-year-old boy is going to be okay, even though he was shot in the right buttock, not right buttocks.
Right.
And the other incident...
I mean, correct.
The other incident I mentioned earlier, I don't have any... In the middle of the night, over the weekend, early in the morning, 4:45 in the morning, yesterday morning, Sunday morning, a 20-year-old was in the bathroom of a Bourbon Street business. That's all it says. When a robber grabbed his hand and placed it on a concealed firearm, the gunman then flashed the weapon and demanded the 20-year-old hand over his money. The 20-year-old fled the bathroom without giving up any of his money. But that was the whole story. It didn't say what business. You would assume a bar if it's 4:45 in the morning. But I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, I don't find anything wrong with the syntax or the spelling in that story.
So be careful if you're walking around Central City or if you're in a Bourbon Street bathroom at 4:45 in the morning.
What could possibly go wrong?
Coming up next, Kate Smith has the greatest version of God Bless America ever recorded, most people think. Well, now it's being pulled from sporting events because they're saying she sang a racist song. I'm going to tell you why it's wrong coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Something we brought up on a show at the end of last week, it was either Thursday or Friday's show. And by the way, if you only listen for a few minutes in the morning for a little bit here or a little bit there while you're driving to work, our podcasts are always available at bayou957.com. We talk about all kinds of different things every morning on the show. So if you only catch a little bit, you can go listen to the whole thing. Again, our podcasts of the show available on our website, bayou957.com. But we only talked about it for a minute because I didn't know that much about it. And I asked the question, what is the most known or the most famous version of the Irving Berlin song, God Bless America? If you think when you hear God Bless America, there's one version that seems to be a fairly definitive version of that song. and one of the most, if not the most popular versions of that song for many, many years, it's the Kate Smith version of God Bless America. Kate Smith, she died way back in 1986 at the age of 79. But her recording of that song has always been popular. As a matter of fact, two professional sports franchises, because of this story I'm about to tell you, last week made the decision to stop playing her version of God Bless America. The New York Yankees always play it. Ever since September 11th, 2001, they always play it during the seventh inning stretch, in the middle of the seventh inning. In the NHL, the Philadelphia Flyers play that version. Well, they did, but both of those teams, as of last week, stopped playing the Kate Smith version of God Bless America at their games because it became known that way back, I think in the 1930s, Kate Smith recorded some songs that had racist lyrics and appeared in an advertisement that included racist imagery. Now, again, we're going way back to the 1930s and the 1940s here. And so when I mentioned it last week on the show, I didn't know that much about this story. And I said, boy, you know, obviously it stinks if Kate Smith was a racist, but are you just going to throw that song away, that version of that song? And is that song now going to be lost because of something that happened back in the 30s and the 40s? And then I did a little bit of research. And from what I could tell, the songs that they're talking about that Kate Smith sang that were racist and had racist imagery, she sang them with a young black male by her side. And it was supposed to be, whether it was satire, a joke, from what I read, that's what I learned about the songs in question linking Kate Smith to racism. And now all of these years later, we can't hear her version of God Bless America anymore at a couple of sporting venues. And when that news broke that Kate Smith's version is not going to be played anymore at those places because she's attached to racism, again, back in the 1930s and the 1940s, a statue of her, there was a statue of her at a Philadelphia sports complex. At first, it was covered up with a black cloth, and I think someone may have knocked it down over the weekend because of this news. Well, all of this that has just happened, and again, this woman died in 1986 at the age of 79, has broken the hearts of a lot of people, and it's broken the hearts of many of her relatives. The family of Kate Smith is reportedly heartbroken by the news I just told you about, that their late relative and her version of that song is no longer going to be played at those venues. And evidently now there's some sort of a push to make that song, her version of that song, go away from other places as well. And when we, and I'll tell you why in a second, her family's heartbroken. But when we talked about this for only a minute or two last week, we compared this to Paula Deen. What happened to Paula Deen? How, you know, Paula Deen lost everything that she had, at least a way to make money on television and to the mass audience, because it came to light that several years ago she used the N-word. And now, you know, if you look for Paula Deen anywhere or her stuff anywhere or see what she's up to, that is always one of the first things that pops up saying, oh, that Southern woman said the N-word years ago. You shouldn't buy anything from her anymore, and she shouldn't be on television
well,
anymore.
Well, less around here, less light was put on that. It's a little more of a specific thing, but we talked about it on the show because I think it's another layer of this onion. The longtime radio play-by-play voice of the Indianapolis Colts, Bob Lamy, was telling a story about something that had happened at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and he was telling a story about Irishman Derek Daly, who at the time, former driver, Formula One driver, Indy 500 driver, was telling a story involving an African-American driver and used the N-word in a story about that driver. And Bob Lamy recounted that story some 35 years later, and an African-American co-worker of his heard it and complained, and he was forced to retire. Derek Daly, who then became the sports director of an Indianapolis TV station, was fired as well. His claim was that he's from Ireland, and using that term doesn't have the same context as, but all of that, I'm not defending the use of that word.
Sure.
It's just, it's just another layer of the story. Here's the thing about Kate Smith, and I think we touched on this a little bit, some of the words that are in a couple of these songs, and I don't even know if we want to, I guess you could look them up on your own. I don't even feel comfortable saying these words on the air. But my question would be to Philadelphia Flyers fans and New York Yankees fans, okay, these songs have been pulled. They're not going to be heard anymore. I guess if you want to hear that version of Kate Smith at home, have at it. I don't understand for people. The family of Kate Smith, that's one thing. They have to figure this out on their own. But anyone who says that the Flyers and the Yankees are doing the wrong thing by not playing this song, I don't agree with.
But if the song was done in a satirical way.
Does it matter? What are you going to do? You're going to put the song back? You're going to say, okay, we are going to play it. How do you defend that? Anyone who's playing it has to pull it. The bad of playing it certainly outweighs any good of continuing to play it.
Well,
and I'm not one who thinks that Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington Redskins, I don't think that name should be changed. Maybe I'm being a hypocrite about it.
Some would say you are in those two instances. Her family, one of her nieces, a woman named Susie Andron, said, quote, Aunt Catherine really did not see color. She didn't see a person's color. She was very in tune with a person's character.
Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, well, I'm going to do my, what's that guy's name? The old announcer.
Oh, Yankees. Bob Shepard. Yeah, he died, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Yankee Stadium. I can't do that voice. Hmm. And you would have an announcer read that preamble. The family of Kate Smith would like you to know that she was not racist, and now here's her how do you do that?
But I just,
the only thing you could do is pull the song. You can't.
Well, I just did when I did a little research over the weekend about this, Brewster, on this. I was just looking for signs that Kate Smith was a racist.
Doesn't matter.
That's one of the most loved versions of that song in the history of our country.
I'm sorry, it doesn't matter.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter. The organizations, the Philadelphia Flyers and the New York Yankees cannot be seen as promoting in a group of anywhere from 18 to, I don't know, what's the new Yankee Stadium hold? 50,000 people? 60,000?
Right around 50.
You can't all be in this, in 2019 America, you can't be seen to be enjoying that song, and she is, again, it's an education thing.
Well,
are you going to educate everyone that Kate Smith, ladies and gentlemen, Kate Smith was not bigoted, did not have a problem with black people, and now here's her song. How do you do that?
Well, Brewster, if you're going to do that,
It doesn't matter that the song is beloved.
They're going to have to go back, and they're going to have to look at a lot of stuff.
Well,
because there are people that want every John Wayne movie pulled from Turner Classic Movies because John Wayne made racist comments in a Playboy magazine interview in the 70s saying why he thinks a black guy could never be president, and he started talking about their brains. And now if John Wayne, how don't you go back and remove every movie from every television network that every John Wayne movie has ever been on?
And there are people who would like to see that happen, just as there are people who would like to see Huckleberry Finn removed from libraries.
And I don't agree with that.
Like warning stickers on that is not enough.
Look, erasing history. Look,
I'm not defending it.
I don't think it's the answer, because there were different times back then when Mark Twain wrote that book, Huckleberry Finn. He used the N-word a lot, and people back then it was wrong, but it was a different time.
But you can make your personal choice, and with your shades pulled down and your doors closed, you can listen to anything you want, Kate Smith or otherwise. But the New York Yankees cannot be seen as having 30,000-40,000 people standing around listening to that. It's just, talk about a way to kill your business. It's an image thing for them. Personal choice is something else.
Don't you think this is a political correctness going a little
sure
bit?
Sure, it is.
Of course, going a little bit off the rails.
I'm not defending it, but as a Yankee stockholder, how do you feel if ticket sales plummet because they continue to use this? You've got to do it,
boy.
It's damage control.
I think we're going to start seeing a lot more things like this. Especially,
of course,
I brought up John Wayne. That's just one example, but I could go back and look. It was a different time, and it was a different. But
you can go through film, you can go through literature, you can go through recordings, you name it.
I don't think erasing history is the answer.
I think
learning from it is the answer. Again, different times, but that's an interesting story.
In a statement, the Yankees said that they, quote, had been made aware of a recording that had been previously unknown to us and decided to immediately and carefully review this new information. The Yankees take social, racial, and cultural insensitivities very seriously. And while no final conclusions have been made, we are erring on the side of sensitivity. And that's what I basically just described. They have to.
Boy, oh boy.
They can't keep playing it.
Well, stay tuned then, because if that happens, we're going to start seeing a lot more stuff like this happen. And even though it was a different time and a place back then. Coming up on the show, we will tell you about a man who had one of his $100 poker chips from Harrah's here in New Orleans stolen from him. We'll tell you about it coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Saw this headline. Woman steals man's $100 poker chip during Canal Street robbery. A woman stole a man's $100 poker chip during this robbery that happened early Saturday morning, about 4:30 in the morning. You know, we've talked about that, whether it's inside Harrah's Casino here, whether you're in the bathroom. We said you probably shouldn't be counting your money, or, you know, if you're outside. I don't know why the $100 poker chip was in view of anyone. Or police say that this happened about 4:30 in the morning on Saturday, right near Harrah's on Canal Street. Two women approached a 24-year-old man, and one pulled his hand out of his pocket. He was holding his wallet, from which the woman removed the poker chip before both robbers fled. Okay. So he's standing on Canal Street right outside Harrah's here in New Orleans, his hands in his pocket. Again, it's 4:30 in the morning. You got to be careful. And two women came up to him, grabbed his hands and pulled his arm out of his pocket. And he happened to be holding his wallet in his hand. And then they grabbed the wallet, and it was a $100 Harrah's poker chip. I don't know what he was saving it for, because outside of that casino, that's not good anywhere. Maybe he was just planning on going back in. He was taking a smoke break or something. But he wasn't able to because these two women walked by him, and they pulled his arms out of his pocket where he was holding the wallet, took his wallet, and then the two women fled. You know, some crimes you just think, you just assume are more towards one gender than the other. and robbery, armed robbery in the middle of the night here in downtown New Orleans. You would think that that would be mostly men, but hey, you got to be careful. Even two women walking down the street could end up taking your poker chips. All right, coming up next on the show, there is a feud like they haven't seen for years in the royal family. The brothers aren't getting along anymore, William and Harry, and it's all because of that American. That's what everybody's blaming, the American.
And they're stomping on tradition.
Yes. I think Meghan Markle is so hot. Mm. Well, we'll tell you what's going on over there.
The actress.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford.
I got to tell you something, real quick that's on the website, bayou957.com. We've talked about this, and it's the strangest thing ever, and now it has turned over on itself and has become mind-blowingly strange. We've talked about how Nick Mason, the drummer for Pink Floyd, is actually touring with a Pink Floyd tribute or a Pink Floyd cover band called A Saucer Full of Secrets, the name of their second studio album. At a show at the Beacon Theater in New York City, they had a special guest get up on stage. It was Roger Waters. He got up and sang Set the Controls for the Heart of the Sun with the Pink Floyd cover band, A Saucer Full of Secrets, with the real Pink Floyd drummer, Nick Mason.
That's incredible.
It's great, and it's right there at the front right now, top and center, at the Above the Fold, we call that, at the website, bayou957.com. If you're driving now, just make a mental note of that and check that when you get to work, if you're able to do that.
When we recently talked about that, I remember, first and foremost, the tribute band that the drummer Pink Floyd is playing in, it only goes up to the Dark Side of the Moon. It does all of their very, very, very early stuff. So
right.
I don't think outside of See Emily Play, I don't know if there would be any quote-unquote hits that he does. He might throw a couple in. I don't know. So
right.
I thought that was pretty strange. But then we also compared that to kind of how Jimi Hendrix experienced drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Mitchell died when he was playing small clubs in America in a Jimi Hendrix tribute band. And here's the original Jimi Hendrix experienced drummer.
Right.
Playing in a Jimi Hendrix tribute band late in life in small clubs in America, and he ended up dying after one of those gigs.
I think that was more out of necessity and was kind of sad. But Nick Mason doesn't have to. I mean, all those guys are multi-millionaires over, if not billionaires.
Well, maybe he's bored.
He could be bored. I mean, he's an adrenaline kind of guy, like many drummers, like John Bonham, who was a big fan of auto racing. Nick Mason actually races cars, motor racing, as they call it in Britain.
Well,
but it's really cool. You got to see it if you're a Pink Floyd fan.
Well, speaking of England, because that's where Pink Floyd's from.
Brilliant segue.
Not only was yesterday the Queen Elizabeth's 93rd birthday, again, her and Keith Richards, they are something.
Those two queens are still kicking.
Well, she's something for 93. But the big news coming out of there yesterday when they went to church, the two brothers, William and Harry, they didn't walk in together, and they used to be really close. But now, ever since he married Meghan Markle, the American, now they're saying there's a rift between the four of them, William and his wife, Kate Middleton, and Henry and Harry and his wife, Meghan Markle, the American. And the reason why there's a rift, they're saying that Meghan Markle and Harry could be more popular than their mother, Princess Diana.
Hmm.
Everywhere they go, they say the crowds, the people, and they're saying that that's what's causing a rift between the two brothers and their wives, because the older brother and Kate Middleton, who's gorgeous too, and I love Meghan Markle. I think she's gorgeous. I mean, Kate Middleton has a sister who's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Her name's Pippa. Pippa!
I think of the three, she might be the best looking.
So, but evidently Kate Middleton can't handle how popular Meghan Markle is. She can't handle her and her brother can't handle how popular Meghan Markle and her husband, Prince Harry, are. I mean, the crowds that they get everywhere they go.
Right.
It's gotten to the point now. And by the way, Meghan Markle is going to have his baby.
Yes.
Any day now.
Yes.
But after she has that baby now, the big story is they may be moving to Africa for 3 years. Now, they say they're doing it for humanitarian reasons and to do good work, you know, right. with poor people. But people that know the situation say that they're kind of being forced out because Prince William and his wife, Kate Middleton, they can't handle how popular these younger two are.
Well, and see, the current brouhaha, the current kerfluffle, the current bailiwick, I don't know, I've run out of ridiculous words here, in the UK right now with the Duchess of Sussex, the actress, Meghan Markle.
Yes.
With her expecting, they're going to break tradition and they are not going to immediately throw open the doors of the hospital so that the public and the press can get a look at the young blessed child with its pointed head.
Yeah.
They're going to actually go home first and spend time with the youngster and then do that. And this is just has Britain in a titter because that's just not done throughout the history of the monarchs.
Yeah, and normally I wouldn't care about this crap.
I know this because Mrs. Brewster makes me watch Inside Edition every night after Jeopardy.
Well, no, and plus it's a big deal that the American woman, who I'm very attracted to, Meghan Markle, is causing such a stir over there. And the fact of the matter is, you know, because she comes with all of her baggage. She's got a dysfunctional, broken, divorced American family. She's got crazy siblings, crazy brothers and sisters. The father was trying to make a lot of money off of her wedding with the tabloids. I mean, she comes from a crazy family, which is like a lot of American families. And the people over in England just watch her with their mouth open. And because she's so hot, and they just can't believe the amount of people that show up to see her, and they can't believe. And again, the older sister who's from England, the older sister-in-law, Kate Middleton, she can't deal with this American who's stealing all of her spotlight, all of her thunder. And that's why they may be heading off to Africa after she has this baby.
You talk about people with too much time and too much money on their hands worrying about things like this.
Yeah, I get a kick out of how the American is throwing a big monkey wrench into all of those traditions and all of the stuff over there. The kings and queens and princes and princesses. Who needs that crap? That's why we left, right? And started this country.
Yes. They're all inbred anyway.
Mm. All right, coming up, I was reading how Facebook has perfected the art of the news dump. We'll explain.
Of the what?
The news dump.
They don't even know that term.
They know how to spread bad news pretty quick.
Ah.
We'll tell you about it coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. What would you do if you brought your car to a place to get some work done? And then the next day or the day after, you happen to be driving around town and you saw the mechanic at the place where you brought your car to get some work done. You saw the mechanic driving your car, the car that you just brought in there the day before, 2 days before, driving around town. Well, this woman in Mississippi, Flowood, Mississippi, that happened to her the other day, and she just happened to be, again, you'd have to live in a smaller area, smaller town to see something like this, but she did, and she followed the guy. And the mechanics stopped in to go someplace for lunch, and she stole her own car back. I guess she had a second key. And
well, it's like that great Seinfeld episode where the great comedian Brad Garrett plays the auto mechanic and is driving around Jerry's Volvo because he doesn't. I don't have any faith in this gasket. You know, Jerry's not taking care of his car properly.
Yeah, I love that episode of Seinfeld, and I wonder if this is what inspired that mechanic in Mississippi to go take this woman's car out for a joyride. But I liked what she did. You know, she could have done, think about it, she could have done several things. What would you have done? She had a backup key. She followed him around, wait till he pulls into a restaurant. He goes in and then just don't say anything for a day or two. Then what's the mechanic going to do? And that's exactly what she did. That's good stuff. And she should probably get free work done on her car from that garage for the foreseeable future. All right, coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. And it was a great Easter around here. Beautiful day yesterday in New Orleans for Easter and our three Easter French Quarter parades. But it wasn't so nice in other parts of the world. especially did you see the Christians attacked in Sri Lanka? Well, that death toll number, by the way, is rising. Stay tuned for that and more coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I just put up a really cool video on the Bayou957.com website. What would you do if you were at a big box store that sold electronics, and as you were walking in, a complete stranger said to you, "I will pay for whatever you can carry out."
Hmm.
But you can't use a carriage. You just have to, it has to be in your arms and your hands.
Right.
And we're talking about a store like Best Buy. We're talking about a store where you can get some really nice, expensive stuff.
But I can't use a basket or a dolly or
whatever
anything like that.
Whatever you can carry out in your hands.
I've got it. A cash register. I win. Yes.
Well, you can't rob the place. Oh. I just put this video up on Bayou957.com. Go check that out. It's very entertaining. And I wish that would happen to me. All right. We finish our show every day with our segment that we call. That's just about going to do it for the show tonight. Thanks for listening. And coming up next, it's Ginty.
Ginty!
Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.